Don Tony. Don Tony is a compassionate human being.
If I was employed with TNA right now, I would say, you gotta look at it like this.
Don Tony is a sportsman.
I fucking used it as a frisbee. I chucked it at the down the block the other day just for fun.
Don Tony is an articulate speaker.
Blah, 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 blah. Oh!
Don Tony is a food connoisseur.
When the McRib first came out, you know, I had it. It was delicious. I ate like five of them, I remember, in like a two-day span. The thing was is that after a couple of weeks of the McRib, like the newness about it wore off, wasn't as exciting anymore. And, you know, and then all, I found myself, you know, at McDonald's saying, you know what, give me a double quarter pounder with cheese. And I wasn't really into the McRib anymore. Like,
so this year, when you go to the voting booth, think of a real American. Think Don Tony for president.
Blah, 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 blah.
So long, man. Have a good breath.
Fuck you!
So there's rumors that Velveteen Dream is in Impact's Bound for Glory tonight. Come on, man, seriously. I think people need to start coming to the grips. We live in free countries, innocent until proven guilty. Not what you want, not what you insist is the truth. Most important thing I always say is if you have facts against someone, you have to leave the facts as they may be. And you go through the process and you let the process determine in the end what someone or someone did not do. When you have facts on your side and you start manipulating it, twisting it, add a little bit more to it. Well, guess what? Your credibility is shot. And that's why since day one, I got to be honest with you, got to move the mic out of the way. I had to give him the benefit of the doubt. Not going to get into that again tonight. Because we're going to do everything rapido tonight. Now, I want to welcome everybody to tonight's edition of the Don Tony Show. I am Don Tony as always, and thank you very much for tuning in. Isn't it interesting how all of the bear pokers tonight were awfully quiet? Very quiet, especially certain news journalists out there that did not want you to know that SmackDown replayed tonight on Fox. Wait a minute. We now have 2 hours of Dynamite versus 2 hours of SmackDown head-to-head? Why didn't they all get mad at WWE? Why did they not poke the bear tonight? Why weren't they irate pissed? Well, I'll give you two reasons why. Number one, if we don't tell anybody that SmackDown is being replayed tonight, then they won't watch. So if we don't bring attention to it, a lot less people will tune in. And guess what? Dynamite is going to beat SmackDown in the ratings tonight. That's reason number one. Reason number two is not even Tony Khan opened his trap tonight. And why? And listen, this is not crapping on Tony Khan night. I have to give him a lot of praise and a lot of respect later. Nice little gesture that he did that a lot of people just threw by the wayside. But he didn't even comment because he knew that tonight Game 7 of the championship series between the Astros and the Red Sox was supposed to happen on Fox regular channel. Here in New York, it's Channel 5. Because a Game 7 is not needed, Fox needed to fill that time with something else. And it was Fox's decision. They approached WWE. This was not a decision made today. The decision is made once Game 7 is not needed. You don't know if Game 7 is needed until Game 6 was in the books. Once they knew that Game 7 was not needed, they went and said to WWE, okay, we want to put SmackDown as a replay in that time slot. And then WWE said, no problem. Of course. We'll even give you some crown jewel material. And if you saw my tweet, at 4 or 5 hours ago, I said a couple little edits will be done on SmackDown tonight. Nobody paid attention because, nobody thinks I have any news sources. Shout out to a few people when SmackDown aired that said, hey, DT, you called it. Yeah, they edited Charlotte dropping the belt, throwing the belt, whatever you want to call it. They edited it out tonight. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what we know that is true as far as Charlotte, WWE. Let's make this clear, everybody. For those out there that think that Charlotte is on her way out of the company, that is it, and blah, 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 blah. These are people that are just trying to get stroked from you. You'll forget about it in a couple of days. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about. I don't know if you saw in the video description section all the topics I have planned tonight. And we are going to do this in 90 minutes or less, I promise you. But again, I'll talk about SmackDown, I'll talk about Rampage, and I'll talk about Dynamite. But I am not going into these detailed recaps anymore. Pay-per-views, yes. But right now, there's about 500 podcasts doing reviews and recaps of Dynamite. We don't need to spend all that time on it. And I'm sure a lot of you saw what we saw. So there's no reason to repeat it. I think a lot of other topics you would like to get into tonight. How's everybody doing? How's your weekend so far? You know, Impact tonight has Bound for Glory. I have the matches in front of me. And just so you know, the pay-per-view is starting right now. So if you want to leave and go watch it and check this out on the replay, you know, you are absolutely allowed. I will not hold it against you. They had to start it at 10 o'clock because they're in Nevada. There's a time difference. And they thought it would be better, especially going up against Dynamite, especially going up against SmackDown, even though they trust me, all these companies knew that there was a good possibility that SmackDown would be replayed tonight if a Game 7 was not necessary. But again, see why Tony Khan didn't say a word? Because he knows this was a Fox decision. Not a WWE decision. So for all of you out there that think, oh, Tony Khan, maybe he's starting to learn his lesson. It's not that easy. So shout out to Doug Eaton. Mama Eaton's birthday is today. So props, my friend. Tell your mom I said happy birthday. Much love. Also, I took a little picture today. I am bird sitting. And I bought a little wooden platform because I think my bird is starting to have arthritis issues, him being like 26 years old, 27 years old. And I put the platform. He was a little nervous at it first. First wooden platform we ever bought. And as you can see, you know, he's kind of plopped down. He's chilling. I had the camera. And he just looked at me. He's like, go ahead, shoot away. I have no problem. So, yeah, so I am bird sitting today. And look, I want to open up with some best wishes to Jim Ross. For those that don't know, Jim Ross is now dealing with skin cancer in his leg. Now, skin cancer, I know a lot of people out there think, oh, surgery, radiation, clear it right up. Trust me, I know someone whose father died from skin cancer that spread to different areas of the body. I'm not going to post the graphic picture that Jim Ross posted on social media a couple of days ago, but, you know, you look at his leg, it does not look good. He had a biopsy done, and it came back that he does have cancer. There are some treatment options, and one which may be likely is radiation. And, you know, I didn't want to do this, but, you know, there's always some very special people out there that'll try to challenge you. Yeah, I sent well wishes to Jim Ross earlier. And I said, you know, me and myself, I've been dealing with some issues with my lower leg too. And, you know, it's more of like skin ulcers. And, you know, I have little cuts that have not healed in about 3 years. And I've been told a few times, you know, you should get that checked out. You should get that checked out. You should get that checked out. And I haven't. And I said, you know, after him having this abrupt situation and going and get tested and it's cancer, I said, I am definitely going to check this out. So sure enough, early I got one DM and then I got one right before the show started. Oh, DT, you're only saying that because you're trying to use Jim Ross's cancer to get sympathy. Well, to those winners out there that think for some reason I have to lie about shit on social media to try to get attention, this is for you.
Okay, just in case anybody doesn't believe me, that is a little quick screenshot of my lower leg. The muscles are real, and so unfortunately are those marks. Good luck, Jim. Hopefully I'm not having the same problem.
Now, I'm not going to zoom in on it, but if you look at it closely, there's like scabs and cuts that have been there for about 3 years. I put Band-Aids on it. I put like antibiotics, cortisone, and nothing clears it up. Do I think I have skin cancer? No. But stuff like that is not normal. And to see what happened with Jim Ross, you know, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, maybe I should check it out just to be safe. But for the assholes out there that, you know, think I'm one of these other schmucks out there that tries to do stuff for attention, well, there you go. There you go. So, Jim, prayers are to you, my friend. Prayers. A lot of you out there are wondering, what the hell is this about? Well, if you look at the top right-hand corner, that tells you what that is written in Arabic. It is, in Arabic, Ryback the Fool. Now, I am a fan of Ryback. I am a supporter of Ryback. I have given a lot of compliments to Ryback on these shows. But something that is not the norm anymore is I criticize where criticism is needed. I'm just expressing an opinion. I am not suddenly a Ryback hater. I am not, you know, one of these backstabbers or two-faced. No, I mean, you could support. See, this is what I always say about AEW or WWE or anything else. You can be a big supporter of something and express criticism if deserved. Too many people out there are petrified to express criticism about something that they love, but they think can use improvement because they're afraid of being banished. They're afraid of being shitted on. They're afraid of being blocked. They're afraid of being ripped on. You know, they can't express criticism. Either everything's got to be cake and ice cream, unbelievable, or it's the opposite. You can't do one or the other. So I honestly, in my opinion, I have to give Ryback a little criticism tonight. Mansoor, and that's why he is holding a little Mansoor. Trust me, I am 100% in the court of Mansoor on this one. Now, Mansoor has been in the WWE for a few years now. And anybody that's tuned into these shows over the years knows that I always felt early on that Mansoor was given a little bit special preferential treatment because of, you know, where he came from and getting the extra special treatment in Saudi Arabia. I compared it to Don Finucci in the movie The Godfather, you know, when the nephew got the job and Robert De Niro was out of a job, you know, because they had to please Don Finucci. Instead, it's Don Crown Prince. But I've also said that Mansoor has improved. Mansoor, you know, he's new on the main roster still. And up until last week, really, he has been under the tutelage of Mustafa Ali. Mish even said last week that Crown Jewel is going to be where Mustafa Ali breaks away. It's going to help Mansoor look like $1 million, and Ali is going to go on his own. I compared it to me when I was a kid, and I used to ride with the training wheels. There's a day where the training wheels come off. So you have Mansoor wrestle in Saudi Arabia, hometown, crazy pressure, because especially when you're representing Saudi Arabia and not New York or the United States or the United Kingdom, there's a little bit of added pressure on you. And he performed nicely in Saudi Arabia. Wasn't a match that I'm really going to remember years from now, but it was a nice match. The mental, emotional pressure, plus the physical travel, all those hours, and then you compete in Saudi Arabia, and guess what? Before you could even soak it in, it's back on a plane, fly to Kansas, and you're going to have another match, and it's going to be about 24 hours later, and it's going to be on SmackDown. First time millions of fans really on his own. You know, he's wrestled on his own before, but this time truly focuses on him. So he has the match yesterday on SmackDown. Average match. It happens to everybody. Average match. But Mansoor is still in the growing stages. So last night, Ryback posts this. Vince McMahon, you could give Mansoor Steve Austin music and he still won't be over. Holy shit, your product fucking sucks. Again, I am a supporter of Ryback and I will continue to support him after this show. But that's pretty damn harsh. I mean, especially under the circumstances, you just perform in front of your hometown at Crown Jewel. You fly thousands and thousands and thousands of miles to another town, probably got almost no sleep besides the emotional pressure, and he wrestles on SmackDown on top of it. And, you know, holy shit, your product fucking sucks. I think that's a little bit harsh. So what was Mansoor's reply to this? Oh, he just posted this screenshot. For my friends on audio only, it is the original poll where Ryback asked the fans, what promotion would you like to see him return in 2021? Why Ryback would give the option of retiring is beyond me. But he did, and retire got 72% of the votes. So Mansoor basically says to Ryback, yeah, you're a guy that 72% of fans out there just want to see go away. Maybe you could sell me vitamins. Maybe you could help me with my keto diet. But as far as the ring goes, yeah, I don't think so. So I know it's usually Ryback's rules, but for this show, and maybe this show only, it's Mansoor rules. Do I think Mansoor is completely polished yet as a wrestler? No. Not everybody is going to make it on a long level. We don't know what's going to happen to him a year from now. But like I said, especially under the circumstances of Crown Jewel, to turn around and to be this vicious. And Mansoor is not a guy that provokes online. He's not someone that, you know, has an attitude problem. He gets along with everybody. He's trying. It's not like he's just winging it. You know, the guy is working hard. And to turn around and to get to this level, I mean, I don't understand it. I honestly don't understand it. So I just thought that, you know, under the circumstances, Ryback is a fool for what he said this weekend. So, yeah, that's my photoshopping, by the way. I'm not the greatest at it, but when I want to and I have the time, I can. So, you know, there you go. But, just totally unnecessary. Now, I don't know what we should get into first. I mean, there's quite a few things. Oh, you know what? Let me just give you the lineup very quickly for Impact Wrestling's Bound for Glory. Then we got a little news on the Forbidden Door. And then we could chat a little bit about Dynamite, SmackDown, Rampage. Not even too much on Rampage, because Rampage kind of set up tonight. And, you know, we'll get into a few things. By the way, we'll talk about Tony Nese in a little bit. But this was the scheduled card for tonight's Bound for Glory. And it's rumors that Velveteen Dream will be making his debut tonight. There's rumors Braun Strowman may be appearing tonight. I say right now, take them only as rumors, because there's been at least six or seven names being thrown around for Bound for Glory tonight. And trust me, Impact Wrestling ain't got it like that. If these deals weren't signed up to Impact Wrestling's Bound for Glory, unless they're giving them a nice one-time appearance payday, you know, I don't know what's actually going to surface from this, but there's very interesting reports going around about this Forbidden Door. And when I tell you what is going around, you will be forced to say, DT, you were right all along. But anyway, tonight, John Skyler versus Crazy Steve versus Fala Baal versus Jordan Grace versus Chelsea Green versus Madison Rain in an intergender six-way match for the inaugural Impact Digital Media Championship. Christian Cage versus Josh Alexander for the Impact Heavyweight title. Deonna Purrazzo defends the Knockouts title against Mickie James. Rich Swann versus Brian Myers versus Moose versus Morrissey versus Chris Sabin versus to be announced. It is a competitor's Call Your Shot gauntlet match. The winner receives a trophy and a contract they can invoke any time within 1 year for a championship of their choosing. What? Trey Miguel versus Steve Macklin versus El Fantasmo is the tournament three-way match for the vacant X Division Championship. Decay defend the Impact Knockouts tag team titles against the Inspiration. The Iconics making their debut. We'll see how they do. Heath and Mystery Partner versus Eric Young, Cody Deaner, or Joe Doring. And then the Good Brothers taking on Finn Juice and Chris Bay and Hikuleo of the Bullet Club, a three-way tag match for the Impact World Tag Team Championships. That is the card that is scheduled for tonight. Card subject to change, obviously. Now, how freaking cute. Did you see all the reports going around today that the relationship, the working relationship between Impact and AEW is about to expire? What does that mean, about to expire? Wait, there was a specific time limit on it? Was it that Tony Khan, they met with the five families a year ago. Hey, listen, COVID, it's killing a lot of businesses. It's hurting us all, some more than others. So for the next 12 months, how's about we agree to exchange some talent here and there? And Impact Wrestling doesn't want to shut down. Impact Wrestling got hammered. Ring of Honor, hammered. MLW, hammered. I mean, especially Impact Wrestling with all the TV commitments overseas. You think when Dixie Carter turned it over to Anthem, you think they go to the other countries? No. We're new owners. We don't have to make these commitments anymore. So a year ago, the agreement was, hey, because of COVID and because we cannot afford these contracts, we cannot afford to pay these people these contracts with COVID. It's going to take years to recover all that money lost. It is going to take years to be able to pay wrestlers the money that they were paying before. It's going to take a long time. So how's about this? We sign someone, you take a little bit of the cut, you take a little bit of the cut, you do this, you do that, you do this. And in this way, we split the costs. So Christian Cage, he works a little AEW, he does a little Impact Wrestling. The other promotions, no, that's a little bit too much money for us to spend on Christian Cage. So the Forbidden Door, for some reason, only stops over there. In the case of somebody like Thunder Rosa, Thunder Rosa, you know, she has her own Fed that she does a tremendous job with. AEW signs Thunder Rosa. She's allowed to work other places as long as it doesn't interfere with AEW's programming. So Thunder Rosa's contract allows her a little bit more freedom. These contracts are a little bit different in AEW. Not every single person's contract is exactly the same. But when you see, like we brought up, Forbidden Door, what was the Kenta. The Forbidden Door is knocked out and he shows up once. Don't you notice how the Forbidden Door happens when someone just happens to show up also at GCW, also shows up at CZW, also shows up at this promotion, also shows up here. Tony Khan, no Forbidden Door. Everybody just agreed, look, we can't afford to run our promotions and to spend that kind of money in the middle of COVID. So for the next year, we all split the cost in some capacity. And what happens? Tony Khan made out 10 times better than anybody else because he's the biggest promotion of them all. He's the most successful promotion of them all. Tony Khan is extremely smart for doing that. Tony Khan did nothing wrong. But you picked up on it early on. Rich Swann, remember the whole thing almost a year ago? Rich Swann and Kenny Omega, they're showing up at Impact and they're beating the crap out of the Motor City Machine Guns or Rich Swann or anything else. And none of them showed up on Dynamite. None. Not even an attempt. Because you realized how one-sided this was. AEW didn't need Impact. AEW didn't need MLW. AEW didn't need NWA. They all needed a little rub from AEW. That's why you see the AAA titles. You think AAA is doing spectacular right now? You think some of the promotions in Japan are doing spectacular right now? They're much further back in the battle of COVID than anywhere else. So this Forbidden Door was never Tony Khan trying to bring wrestling back to what it was 30, 40 years ago. Bullshit. COVID is what kicked down the Forbidden Door. COVID sneezed on the Forbidden Door. And that Forbidden Door fell right on its ass. Now suddenly, this relationship after Bound for Glory is over? Well, wait, COVID is still here. Wait, remember when I told you by the end of the year, how many times did I say on this show in the last 8 months, by the end of 2021, let's see how much of that Forbidden Door is still open. Now you're hearing his reports. Now you're starting to understand what was done. This was not an attempt by Tony, and I'm not criticizing the guy. It's just that everybody out there either got it wrong or they wanted to make Tony Khan look like old school, trying to help everybody and being the good guy. And it said, no. You have titles from other promotions. You know, you see, look, nothing against Layla Hirsch. What did I say? In NWA, Layla was legit. In AEW, Layla is shit. Camille needs an opponent for this big Empower pay-per-view. So AEW, let's bring a woman from your promotion. And everybody's like, oh my God, that would be awesome. We could bring Thunder Rosa. We could bring Britt Baker. We could bring Penelope Ford, the bunny. We'll give them Layla Hirsch. I wasn't laughing because Layla Hirsch is fucking awesome. But you remember the night of the pay-per-view? She'll have her best match in her entire televised career, Layla Hirsch, against Camille. And then she's right back into mediocrity in AEW. What has happened with Layla Hirsch since? I'm sorry. Oh, you know what? I forgot. She's in this TBS tour. Oh, no. No, she's not. Layla, anywhere else, she's legit. In AEW, she's shit. It's a shame. So I hope you're starting to understand about Forbidden Doors in business because that's what's going on. I mean, honestly. So anyway, just wanted to make mention of that. All right. Dynamite tonight, and then we'll talk about the Charlotte stuff. The Charlotte stuff is interesting, especially Andrade's tweet last night. See, this is why people should not live on social media. Andrade tweeted this last night at 11 o'clock. Right away, the scholars that, you know, look, hey, it's a late Friday night. You're lonely. You got no significant other, you know, to rub your knob or rub whatever you have. You know, you don't have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, you know, plastic, whatever. So, you know what? Getting, you know, like 100 likes, you know, it make me feel good when I go to bed. I feel like I did. So what happens? Andrade posted that last night. And everybody thinks, oh, Andrade, he had the match with Pac on Rampage. So that was his way of saying, fuck you, WWE. You see what you could have had, but you decided to do this to me. And look what you got now in Rampage. It had nothing to do with that. That tweet was because of what happened with Charlotte. But instead of waiting or guess what, asking, why did he say that at 11 o'clock at night? Why did he say that? Now, everybody thinks, you know, it's just that time in the month for Andrade. He had his match with Pac, and the match was so great that the first thing he wanted to do afterwards was just say, fuck WWE. That's why people out there need to, you know, wait before you talk. 9 times out of 10, you end up being wrong. So anyway, before we get into that, let me just give you the match results from Rampage, because it actually carries over for what went down tonight. First of all, Britt Baker versus Anna Jay in a grudge match, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? We got Ty Conti versus Britt Baker at Full Gear. This was in a way to segue to that, which leads to the match at Full Gear. Okay, fine. Full Gear is in 3 weeks. By the way, remember, Full Gear is on a Saturday, not a Sunday, which means that Saturday, which is what, November 13th? Wait, what's that Saturday? Let me just double check. That is November 13th, yes. That night, the Don Tony Show will probably be a recap of Full Gear instead. Just letting you know. If we have to, we could always do a Friday night show instead. You had Pac over Andrade. And I think we may go to another match. It should. And you know what? When I heard that that match was announced, I was so happy. Because one thing I've been saying on this show quite often over the last month or two is that Tony Khan can do rematches 2 weeks in a row. They're not going to accuse him all of a sudden for copying WWE. If you got something clicking great and the fans are into it, and two guys could go, give him a rematch on the next week. There's no reason why you can't do that. So, you know, I know they didn't fight last week, but this rematch was awfully close to the last encounter, which was pretty, pretty good. Orange Cassidy over Powerhouse Hobbs to advance in the Eliminator tournament. Look, man, thank God Lance Archer is okay. For those that didn't see it tonight, he took on Eddie Kingston, also in round one of the Eliminator tournament. And you know my feelings on how AEW treats the big men, the super heavyweights, like garbage. Brian Cage, what is he doing? Really? Look at what is Brian Cage doing right now? Honestly. Powerhouse Hobbs, yes, he has his whole future ahead of him. He gets the match against CM Punk. Oh, nice little rub. Yeah, that rub wore off. It's like cheap suntan lotion. CM Punk was some cheap suntan lotion, and he rubbed it on, AEW rubbed it on his body. Don't forget my back. Don't forget my shoulders. I burned on my shoulders. And as soon as Powerhouse Hobbs, you know, the day went by, all that suntan lotion rubbed off. The rub is gone. And Powerhouse Hobbs, 2 weeks go by, 3 weeks, a month, same shit. And then 2 months go by. Oh, he'll get a match here. He might get a win. And then another month goes by and nothing. And before you know it, some of these guys will be gone. Brian Danielson is 195 pounds. He's underweight for 205 Live. You look at some of the other wrestlers there. I mean, when Cody said that back, and I'm not complaining about that. You know, as long as they're honest, to everybody. When Cody did that backstage segment, when he put his gear in his trunk and said AEW is a light heavyweight promotion, that was one of the most honest statements that's ever been made public, that probably shouldn't have been made public since they've been in business. All of these super heavyweights, what does it lead to? I mean, oh, Lance Archer had a title. Oh, that was IWGP or New Japan or whatever it was. You know, it's the perception, like I said with FTR, there's the perception that they're getting the push. Well, they just won titles, yeah, for another promotion. FTR, why don't you look at their win and loss record over the last year in AEW? You tell me if they're getting pushed. It's the perception. It's smoke and mirrors. But as far as the heavyweight division goes, it's and people think Braun Strowman should go to AEW? Bobby Fish. By the way, that was your match results from Rampage. Three matches. That's what it usually is, so there's nothing wrong with that. I thought Rampage was a decent show. If there was one good thing about Rampage and Dynamite this week, and what I'm going to say is going to sound a little bit dopey, but I think people truly will understand why I'm saying this, and you might even agree with it. What I really liked about Rampage and Dynamite this weekend is that they pulled back. And they pulled back quite a bit. Yes, CM Punk still made an appearance. I guess he was doing poopy when Jungle Boy got attacked. I guess the whole roster was outside maybe vaping. Nobody comes to the aid of Jungle Boy. Talk about that after. But CM Punk makes a little appearance, comes to the rescue of Anthony Green, which makes no sense because Anthony Green, you know, was it like a week or two before when he did this stuff, I think, with Sting. Like, Bobby Fish, it's, you know, no reason, just decides he's going to turn heel today. And, oh, my God, CM Punk runs to the aid of Anthony Green. And then next we know, CM Punk versus Bobby Fish on Wednesday. JD from New York said something tonight that I swear I was halfway typing, but after he wrote it, I'm like, yeah, it's going to look like I'm copying. Why did they sign Bobby Fish? I mean, we agree, and I praise Bobby Fish during his NXT run. I like Bobby Fish. But they have like 80 people on the roster, and a 45-year-old Bobby Fish, if they're going to bring him in, you need him to help elevate the stars of tomorrow. He's getting a match with CM Punk. Whose does this benefit? It's the same reason why you have matches put together that just feel like, oh, it's going to be a great match. No question it's going to be a great match. This feels like what you do on an indie show. You put this person versus this person. Well, at least it's going to be a good match. Bobby Fish will beat Lee Moriarty. Bobby Fish will beat blah, 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 number one. On Dark. Bobby Fish will beat blah, 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 number two on Elevation. Bobby Fish will beat Anthony Green on Dynamite. Well, Bobby Fish has got multiple wins. But when it comes to Bryan Danielson and CM Punk and all the major players, Bobby Fish will be perfect. He will be 0 in everything. There are so many other wrestlers that should be getting involved, and they're not. And it's apparent. It's glaring. Tony Nese was at ringside. And they flashed the camera on him numerous times. And Tony Nese is a guy that younger and should have gone further in WWE. And yes, I know he got the WrestleMania and everything else. But that's a guy that, okay, if you were to bring in Tony Nese instead of Bobby Fish, do you think that AEW got any additional viewers because Bobby Fish is on their show? Do you think anybody other than maybe a relative or a close friend, you think anybody in that building is going to say, I drove 1,000 miles to see Bobby Fish? You know, no, but maybe with Tony Nese, you know, that makes more sense. And again, when you're 45 years old, like Bobby Fish is, no matter how great a condition you're in, you know, when AEW says, look, we really can't give you, you know, a lot, but we'll give you a couple of matches. His birthday is Wednesday. Oh, look at that. Happy birthday, Bobby. Bobby! Sound like Ford Fairlane. What was Bobby Blaze? Hey, Bobby Blaze. Hey, Bobby! Bobby Fish's birthday Wednesday. Happy birthday, Bobby. You got your match against CM Punk. You're taking up a spot of someone that should be wrestling CM Punk, who is 25 and not 45. In my opinion. Just my opinion. So, Dynamite tonight. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Here is the results of round one of the AEW Championship Eliminator Tournament. Any surprises anywhere? Anything? Oh, yeah, got Powerhouse Hobbs. They're going to give him an opportunity. Why is 10 in this? I mean, nothing against 10. But you got Powerhouse Hobbs, which they obviously didn't do nothing with. Orange Cassidy, look, guy's a star. I have no problem with him. Eddie Kingston, Lance Archer, Brian Danielson, Dustin Rhodes. Dustin put on a good match tonight against Brian Danielson. You know, before Dustin retires, I'd love to see a storyline happen where he wins a heavyweight title somewhere, but have a really good, strong storyline and let him back it up in the ring because he's never been a heavyweight champion. But you look at this tournament, and I don't know. It just feels like there's a lot missing from here. So you got Brian Danielson. He beat Dustin Rhodes today in a very good match, beats him with the guillotine. During this match, it was a little controversy. It was a guy at ringside that had some controversial signs. I honestly don't understand how they were not confiscated at the door. I mean, not many. See, this is what you got to understand. I know what some people are going to say. Well, they can't check everybody's signs. This isn't like 1997, where there were thousands of signs in the arena. Or even in the 2000s, when there are hundreds of signs in the arena. You might get 50 if you're lucky. I could see, you know, if you shout out somebody, you know, or make a little remark or something. But when you write Let's Go Brandon, where it's all over the news about this rapper and, you know, the F Joe Biden stuff. Or when someone has a sign that said, I love Twinks. I don't know how you get by that unless he got into the arena and the signs were blank. And while he was sitting down, he might have drawn it because they were not, you know, you could see there was only about 30 seconds of work involved in those signs. He could have went into the bathroom while he was in the stall. I don't know. But right front center camera, he had some pretty controversial signs. They took away the first one. And he thought he could, yeah, no problem. And he puts out a second one, and they're like, hey, bye-bye. They booted his ass. What a waste of money for a ringside ticket. So Bryan Danielson advances, and a lot of people think that Bryan Danielson, because of the match with Kenny Omega and Hangman Page at Full Gear, Bryan Danielson should be in line for the heavyweight title shot very, very soon. I still think down the line it's going to be Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page in a three-way. We will wait and see. Eddie Kingston beats Lance Archer tonight. And as I said earlier, thank God Lance Archer is okay. The match ended very abrupt. And everybody knew right away, don't take any chances. AEW did the right thing. Eddie Kingston beat Lance Archer like this. Lance Archer went for a moonsault. Now, if you watch the camera angle, it looks like his knees may have taken or his arms may have taken a little bit of the absorption, but he almost landed straight on his head. I mean, he did end up, it looked like the JC Jane. You know, and we say that now because she's okay. But JC Jane, you know, last week on NXT, Mish and I had a very long discussion about this on Patreon, on that show. And it was true. If you go back and you look at JC Jane, when she ran to the edge of the ring to do the tope suicida, she stopped and she planted her feet. And it looked like someone who was running to jump in a pool. Now, when you, if you've ever run and jumped in a pool and did a cannonball, you don't stop. You just fly across the pool and cannonball. Just, you go, you don't stop. If you're on a diving board, or even if you're running to the edge and you're going to dive in the pool, you run and then you kind of stop and then you try to push off. JC Jane stopped for that specific second. Now, Lance Archer obviously wasn't running. He was doing a moonsault. But what happened was, because look how big he is and the push off, he almost landed straight on his head. Some people had flashbacks of Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle. And yes, that was a different move, but still, see a big man like that, take a move like that and almost land on his head. There is footage all over the net of Lance Archer walking to the back, you know, with some trainers there, but he was able to walk to the back. They did some quick tests to see if a possible concussion, and he's okay. He's already tweeted to let everyone know that he is fine. I don't know if they're going to need to do any concussion tests on him, because like I said, it wasn't full-blown absorbed, but still, AEW, they went right to the finish. Eddie Kingston pinned him. You know, even though the match ended abruptly, it was the right thing to do. So thank God he's okay. Thank God he's all right. So next week, we get Bryan Danielson versus Eddie Kingston. That will happen. You know, they haven't announced it next week. I'm assuming maybe, yeah, Rampage. Excuse me. They did announce it. Rampage. That makes sense. So next week, you're going to have Bryan Danielson versus Eddie Kingston at Rampage. So by the end of next week, we will know who is in the finals for the Eliminator Tournament, and everybody's betting on Bryan Danielson. Now, on the flip side, we have Jon Moxley taking on 10 this Wednesday on Dynamite. This Wednesday on Dynamite, they have the Dark Order versus the Elite. They have Sammy Guevara versus Ethan Page. And how that match came about. Twix is asking me, do I think Eddie Kingston was set to win? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I don't think there was any doubt as far as that. But anyway, we had a segment tonight. America's top team is in the ring. Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky, and Dan Lambert. Dan Lambert cutting one of his promos, getting booed out of the building. Sammy Guevara comes out. You know, Sammy, not the best on the promo, but Sammy, you know, very likable, and he worked hard, and that's how he got the championship, and this and that. So Lambert issues a challenge. At Full Gear, remember what I said 3 or 4 weeks ago. Pretty much the America's top team is consumed with the Inner Circle for like 2 months. And that's pretty much what we're going to have at Full Gear 3 weeks from now. Now, a few people tonight were asking for clarification. Dan Lambert said at Full Gear it's going to be 5-on-5. The Inner Circle versus America's top team. Sammy Guevara, in his promo, mentioned 3 people. And I want to just explain for some people, I really got a little confused with that. They issued a challenge. Dan Lambert issues a challenge that Sammy Guevara defend the TNT Championship against Ethan Page next week. And the stipulation is that if Sammy Guevara beats Ethan Page, Sammy Guevara could pick the three members of America's Top Team. Now, when he said three and people were like, well, wait, there's five. No, no. Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page are in this match. Guevara chooses three more people that participate with Page and Sky. Now, wouldn't that be something if he chooses Dan Lambert? Could he take a bump? Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think it would probably be comedy more than anything else. Maybe they give Dan Lambert a wedgie. Seriously, we need more wedgies in wrestling, in my opinion. Another stipulation is that if Sammy Guevara loses, and again, this is why I hate the over-the-top stipulations. If Sammy Guevara loses next week, not only does he lose the TNT Championship, but he's no longer part of the Inner Circle. Now, why make an over-the-top stipulation that you know is... If he loses next week and he's no longer in the Inner Circle, then how could it still be a five-on-five? Think about that logic. You could, it'll be five-on-five, but if you lose, you're no longer in the Inner Circle. But wait, this five-on-five is still happening at Full Gear. That's just, to me, a stipulation too many. We've talked about that before. Guevara versus Matt Hardy was another one. No need to go that far with it. But they did. Okay, fine. Also, next week on Dynamite, we have Serena Deeb versus Hikaru Shida in round one of the TBS tournament. And I might as well give you the brackets for the TBS tournament now so we can, I'm writing down my timestamps because people, once in a while, I have to do timestamps. So I'm putting timestamps up now. We have Anna Jay versus Jamie Hayter in round one. The winner of that match will go on to take on Thunder Rosa in round two. The Bunny and Red Velvet are in round one. The winner of that match will take on Jade Cargill in round two. Serena Deeb versus Hikaru Shida, which we will see on next Wednesday's Dynamite, they will face off in round one. The winner of that match will take on Nyla Rose in round two. And now, Ruby Soho versus Penelope Ford, which went down tonight. Ruby Soho got the win. You know, fun match, very quick. And I think that's the right way to go right now because Ruby Soho, obviously, some of the matches she has had hasn't been, you know, spectacular, but not a lot of that is her fault. So just keep it tight. No need to go the extra mile. Ruby wins, so she will take on Chris Statlander, I'm assuming, next week. Now, tonight, in Ruby Soho's match, after she defeated Penelope Ford, the Bunny came out there and Red Velvet runs and makes the save. So now you're asking, okay, is Red Velvet going to somehow be involved or cross paths with Ruby Soho down the line? Maybe. Maybe. Now, this tournament, remember, it doesn't have to be completed until January, technically. You know, that is, wow, there's only like 8 weeks left in the year, 9 weeks left. So you do a match here, a match here. I mean, there's quite a few matches still to go. So there's a lot of storylines that could come out of this. So, but that was your results as far as what went down tonight and what we have forward to. And you see some names noticeably absent. And next week, like I said, Mox versus 10. Bobby Fish versus CM Punk. Moxley cut a promo tonight that a lot of people, I actually wrote, saw people writing, I'm shaking after watching Moxley's promo. Moxley's promo was great. Talked almost in his complete normal voice, very calm. Sounded like he just woke up. And he doesn't care about ratings. He doesn't care about social media or Twitter. He doesn't care about the AEW heavyweight title. He doesn't care about any of this stuff. What he cares about is his family. He was talking about being with his daughter. He's got the dislocated pinky. And, you know, he's about his family. And for him, it would have been easier if he was a carpenter or a dry cleaner or something else, but he chose professional wrestling. This is what he does. And he sends a message to everybody who is still in the tournament: I'm going to get you before you get me. A lot of people think that Moxley is going to end up turning heel. I right now don't see it, because Moxley, you could almost kind of feel where this may be going with Moxley. When Moxley was in the title hunt and was the champion, every week the promo was, nothing more in this world matters other than that title. Yes, this is before child, without question. But everything about his promos, all those vignettes we saw, I eat, sleep, shit, bleed, wrestling, this is what matters to me, blah, 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 blah. When he's not in the title picture, it's family. When he's back in the title picture down the line, this will mean everything. See, that's smart. Because Moxley talking about how he cares about his family first. Now, for wrestling fans, they feel for him, and it's very real, and that's why some people were shaking. But when you think about it, you know, it gets a little bit in a dumb category, because you don't care about the championship, but this is what you do for a living, so you're putting people on notice. But if this is what you do for a living, wouldn't you want the championship? Because being the champion, you get more money, and this is what you do for a living. You don't do it for the love of the game. So, it sometimes being a little bit too real starts to make things sound a little, you know, conflicting, might be the right way to put it. So, I agree. Heel Moxley would be very nice. Absolutely. Moxley is one of their biggest stars. Moxley is balancing his wrestling career, you know, and family. The thing is, though, is you see his match against, you know, some of the hardcore wrestlers that he has fought. Nick Gage recently against Minoru Suzuki. And you see even the GCW match he had, a week or two ago, the amount of blood. You know, I feel for Renee Young. But, you know, it's like there's a formula. John Moxley cares about family. You know, of course he cares about family. You know, that's the promo, this and that. Doesn't care about wrestling. We get to this point. They announce him in a big-time hardcore match. You know, kind of goes over here. Bleeds beyond recognition. Renee Young posts the tweet, I'm sick of it. I can't stand this. I can't take this. You know, I don't want John doing this. Then the promo, well, I got to look at my daughter and its family and this and that, until the next hardcore match where he bleeds like a pig. John Moxley is trying to balance the two. And it gets difficult. And I'm defending Moxley here. It gets difficult when you're a big-time major player and fans want to see you relevant in that company. They don't want to see Moxley just show up for a curtain jerker. You know, hear Wild Thing, everybody sinks to it. He wrestles against, I don't know, 2.0. Fun time. And then next thing you know, a month goes by, what are they doing with Moxley? So, got to see where it goes. But right now, you know, I mean, if you look at this tournament, you know, wrong tournament. I don't think Moxley's in that tournament. The way you see it right now, Moxley's got to be 10. So you could have Moxley versus Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy's going to do his comedy, and Moxley is going to probably get pretty, you know, hardcore with it. I don't know about bleeding or anything like that. And then on the opposite side, everybody thinks Bryan Danielson is going to go to the finals, so wouldn't it make more sense of Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley in the final? Which would be very interesting if you think about the history. But that's where it feels like it's going. So we'll see. We'll see. We had, I'm looking at the notes. Wow, I got into quite a bit already. Okay. Next week, we're also getting the Seidel brothers. They're going to take on Dante Martin and Leo Rush. Little bit four segment. Leo Rush is kind of like throwing a little insult to Matt Seidel. And Dante Martin is like, but Matt is one of the best in the world. But Matt is one of the best in the world. And Leo Rush is like, at what? Losing? I liked Leo Rush in this exchange. Dante Martin sound like he doesn't agree with Leo Rush, but Leo Rush knows what he's doing, so they're going to team up next week. Not too bad. I actually liked that segment. They announced Britt Baker versus Ty Conti at the pay-per-view, which we talked about earlier. MJF and Sting today. Now, there were two parts to this. The first part was Tony Schiavone's going to interview Sting to see what's going on with Darby Allin. Before he says anything about Darby Allin Sting, MJF's music hits, and MJF is calling the crowd schmucks. He is trashing Sting, trashing Darby Allin, and Sting is in the ring. Now, I think at one point when MJF made a derogatory comment to Tony Schiavone, I think off camera, Schiavone gave him the finger. And that's where that pop came from. But MJF hits the ring, Sting levels him, and then the Pinnacle start to beat down Sting. Spears takes care of Sting. And then if you go watch it, it's kind of funny. You know, MJF is on the mic telling Darby Allin that this will be you if you come back. And during the whole time, Sting is trying to act unconscious, like in MJF's lap. And MJF's promo went on for like 35, 40 seconds. And Sting, if you just focus on him, it's kind of funny. Overall, great segment. And I tell you this much, go back and watch. When Wardlow gave MJF the ring and he decked Sting, Sting took a pretty, pretty hard back bump. I know what you're going to say. Oh, DT, you're just talking about a back bump. Go watch it again and realize Sting's age and see how he sold that. You know, something tells me that Sting might take a couple of aspirins tonight just for that one move. He looked good. He looked good. And yes, Wombology. MJF got a crazy-ass pop. Make no question about it. MJF is the biggest heel in that promotion, but he's one of the most liked in that promotion, too. I'm telling you, it's a rare combination. Piper had it a long time ago. Undertaker, even though he never got on the mic when he first started, Undertaker was a big-time heel and crowd popped in. When he beat Hogan for the title in the early 90s, the first time around, the crowd popped when Undertaker won. So, you might say that, you know, we were kind of sick of Hulkamania at that point. But the second part of that segment was in the back. MJF is interviewed a little bit later, and Wardlow waits a week to say to MJF, what was that? You put me in front of Sting, you let me get hit, and MJF's like, you know, I was nervous, it was the heat of the moment, I didn't mean anything by it, blah, 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 and please forgive me, and everything is good. That's just to keep the seed fresh in everybody's minds. So, yeah, look, man, when you have creative freedom like that, it's a lot easier to do what you want to do. When you have a lot of creative freedom, and give AEW credit, yes, some people get very offended at some of the words that come out of MJF's mouth. By the way, what happened to Brian Pillman Jr.? Just saying. Like I said, you see these little pushes, and then they just evaporate. And then 6 weeks later, oh yeah! Other segment from tonight before the main event. We had Jungle Boy beat Brandon Cutler. You know, comedy match, a minute long. You know, it was stupid. Brandon Cutler, you know, has no business being in that ring. But, of course, the amount of work that he does, you know, he's going to be a sacrificial lamb so Jungle Boy could get a squash match out of it. What happens afterwards is Jungle Boy challenges any piece of shit from the Elite to come out. Adam Cole comes out. Big pop from the fans. And Adam Cole's like, you know, you want to fight someone? How's about you fight me one-on-one? So Adam Cole takes his jacket off. Crowd is popping. Think we're going to get a match. Adam Cole tries to hit the ring, and Jungle Boy knocks him off. Now people, if you go back to that reaction, fans were not too thrilled about it because then they realize, okay, the match is probably not going to happen. Sure enough, the Young Bucks super kick Jungle Boy. Now we got all three of them beating Jungle Boy up the rampway. They're chanting Luchasaurus. Luchasaurus is not there. And I guess nobody in the back, the baby faces, nobody was there either because this just went on and on and on. And Adam Cole's telling Jim Ross, call this, call this. They had the BTE trigger, running knee to the head by Adam Cole, the Jungle Boy, and then they throw him off the stage, and he does a flip into a table. Nobody to save Jungle Boy. I know they're not turning Jungle Boy heel, but man, that would be such an easy promo. Nobody came out. I know what you're going to say. Jungle Boy fights his own battles. But still, CM Punk runs out for Anthony Green. Where did he go? Where did he go? Was he buying a Pepsi? Nobody in the back to help Jungle Boy. So, the main event tonight, I don't know, man. Cody Rhodes beats Malakai Black. No other way to put it. Yesterday, after Pac beat Andrade, Malakai came out, and then this led to Cody hitting the ring, chasing everybody off, and this was the segue into today. So a lot of people think there's going to be an alliance eventually with Andrade and Malakai Black. I'm still holding out for the House of Black, if you remember what I said last week. But the fans are booing Cody out of the building. Funny, it's funny how the fans were chanting in unison for Arn Anderson to take out his Glock. It's funny to see Brandi Rhodes run on Twitter and say, we have thousands of fans chanting for Arn Anderson to get his gun. I'm a little bit confused by that because AEW kept their fucking mouth shut during this whole thing. In fact, they did a recorded promo where Arn Anderson is in front of Cody's house and there's fire in a trash can and stuff. They welcomed it. They made a shirt out of it. So yeah, it sounds goofy to have fans chanting for Arn Anderson to get his Glock. Well, you asked for it. You asked for it. This ain't WWE social media where you start tweeting stuff that looks like it's going against the grain. You motherfuckers asked for it. So Cody is fighting Malakai Black. At some point during the match, you got the Nightmare Factory that comes out. I think it was Lee Johnson and Green Anderson comes out. And the fans are like booing. They're like, what are these people for? Arn Anderson ends up hitting the spine buster on Andrade's lackey, whatever that guy's name is. Arn Anderson gets missed, spit in his face by Malakai. But in the end, Cody hit Crossroads. It looked like he was going to hit a second Crossroads, but instead he turned it into a Tiger Driver. And I think that was the right way to go because the Tiger Driver looks a lot more impactful then Crossroads, and he pinned Malakai Black, booed out of the building. Both of them were busted open. I liked the match. I only have one problem with it. And honestly, I deleted my tweet because I could see that nobody gave a shit about the question. My question was simple. Was this a no DQ, no countout match? No, it wasn't. It was a regular match. When they were both outside the ring bleeding, when Cody tried to put Malakai through a table, but Cody's the one that went through the table, why is the referee putting on gloves and checking on both them and standing outside the ring? They were outside that ring for 4 minutes. This was not a no DQ, no count. Don't give me that shit. Oh, this is AEW. It doesn't matter. Sure it does. Because when you advertise no DQ, this, this, and that, but then you allow it, in other matches, it makes it worthless. Go back and you watch it. The referee was outside the ring, not counting anything. And that's how we went off the air. We were abruptly taken off the air because of time. They were a little late on time. But overall, I think I might have got a little off track before. What I was going to say, I said a little bit before, but it's probably better that I waited till now to say it anyway. The reason why I liked Rampage and Dynamite this week was because they pulled back. They definitely pulled back. I mean, yes, we still got Bryan Danielson in a match. Yes, we got a cameo by CM Punk. But if you look at the match results from yesterday and the match results from tonight, not one of those, you know, trying to throw everything out there to try to bring everybody in, reel everybody in. They pulled back this week, and they need to do that more because you cannot maintain this almost pay-per-view type quality like indie wrestling event. Let's sell out 1,500 fans. I'm not saying that they would, they're that small. I'm saying like a local indie group would have to put on that caliber of talent, you know, to try to attract that many people. It takes a lot out of you. And you do these super cards, many times a lot of storylines and feuds are sacrificed or hurt because of it. Because suddenly, you know, nothing seems to progress from it. Why is the Elite beating down Jungle Boy right now, where Hangman Page, he's in the back cutting a promo with the Dark Order holding a beer? Fine. Where was the Elite when Bryan Danielson took on Dustin Rhodes earlier? Why is the Elite all over the place with this? So they got to tighten things up a little bit, in my opinion. So, all right. Very quickly, I just wanted to show you this. I think you'll find it pretty cool. Let me take this. This is better. Marina Shafir, the wife of Roderick Strong, she fought for GCW yesterday. Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 7. She took on, I wrote her name down. Shit. I know it's Masha. What's her last name? Oh, yeah. Shit, I forgot it. I can't remember. Masha Slamovic, I think it is. Slamovic? Anyway, she beat her, and I watched it. Very quick match, but she did pretty good. So if anybody that was, you know, fans of Marina Shafir, she actually did a pretty good job yesterday. I wanted to mention that. Psycho saw it. Psycho says it was awesome. You know, like I said, it's a shame she's going to get very little mention across the board. And did good. You know, I think she's got a little chip on her shoulder as well right now. What else do I want to get into? Oh, okay. Very quickly. SmackDown yesterday, not the greatest of SmackDowns. I forgive him. We had Crown Jewel the day before. Long flight. Yes, not everybody that was on the card traveled. Hit Row was not in Crown Jewel. You know, Sami Zayn was not a Crown Jewel. But, you know, it's still, the card was more about setting up storylines to go further. Now, before we get into the Charlotte stuff, first of all, the matches from yesterday, SmackDown, Happy Corbin over Nakamura in a non-title match. This obviously is going to set up a title shot for Happy Corbin down the line. And this is the time I think Happy Corbin is going to get a title. I'm telling you. I don't want it to happen, but I feel, yeah, I think this is the time it's going to happen. Hit Row, Top Dollar and Isaiah Swerve Scott, they beat Dustin Lawyer and Daniel Williams. Squash. Makes you wonder why they got such a big pop when they were announced in the draft and they got almost nothing yesterday. That's because it was piped in. But I have no problem with it because Top Dollar is brand new to the WWE universe as far as like regular fans. Not everybody tuned into NXT. And they have to get acclimated. You know, you're performing now in front of a much bigger audience. It's not the, you know, Raw and grit of NXT, even though it's been, you know, what would be the right way? Refurbished might be the right way to go with that. So I have no problem with that. I mean, them not getting a reaction right now. They're brand new on the main roster. I have no problem with that. I mean, they did that to Keith Lee early on. They did that to Damian Priest early on. They did that to Karrion Kross. You know, it happens to a lot of wrestlers, so not a big deal. I don't like that they changed Sami Zayn's music. Sami Zayn's music, I don't know why they felt the need to change it, but they did. Sami Zayn lost to Drew McIntyre yesterday. And as we said earlier, Mansoor beat Mustafa Ali. And those were your match results from yesterday's SmackDown. Now, the big news coming out of SmackDown was what went on backstage, in front of the camera, and then backstage again. Now, there's been so many different reports floating around there because everybody wants a run to be first instead of being right. That's why you have somebody post it, update, and then instead of just getting all the facts. I wait till my show. Wombology, it's easy to say now after all these years that Sami Zayn's music is too catchy as a heel. He's been using that music for years and years and years. It's like Nakamura. Nakamura, they added lyrics to it because the fans would stop going, oh. There was nothing wrong with the music. You know, if you're going to change the music because of that idea, that should have been done years ago, in my opinion. So, here is what I gathered. I asked a few questions because one, that's why if you notice, I wrote rumor in my description because I don't like to post rumors as fact. Some of what I'm going to say right now is confirmed. All right. But here's the gist of this. Charlotte would have rather dropped the title to Bianca Belair on Monday than to just hand over a belt on SmackDown. She just liked that idea better. WWE did not want to put the title on Bianca Belair right now. That's the first thing. Now, let me make this clear. And this goes out to everybody who tunes into our shows every week. Mish and I said 3 weeks ago that if Becky retains and Charlotte does not drop that title, we talked 3 weeks ago about swapping belts. Now, when we did predictions last week, Mish thought that they may keep both belts on SmackDown only because of, you know, the Big Show and this and that, and I don't mean Paul White. And their big name value, Becky Lynch and Charlotte, two of the biggest names. So if they show up on both brands, even though the draft is completed, if they hold each other's title for Mish, that gives them reason to be on some more appearances, which is very smart on that part. But 3 weeks ago, we talked about those belts being traded. How many times did we bring up that we could very well get the same thing they did with the Street Profits and the New Day? I was beyond blown away yesterday at how many people that found this out of nowhere. You'd think, and this is something that nobody thought about today, you'd think that Charlotte and Becky Lynch did not know a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, hey, we got drafted to both different brands, but we're champions of the other brands. What's going to happen with the titles? Do you think they just showed up yesterday and that was the first time it hit them? Why are we giving each other the belts? This was discussed for weeks. For weeks. Think about it. If we could think about that 3 weeks ago, you don't think that those women didn't think about that? So people trying to make it that they showed up at the building and the plan was they were going to swap titles and Charlotte's like, oh no, that doesn't make sense. What do you think they were thinking for the last 3 weeks? What happened that nobody's talking about is more about Sasha Banks afterwards and where this is leading. Now, if you remember my review that I did on Thursday, I said that Sasha is going to show up on SmackDown and she's probably going to end up having the first feud with Charlotte. And Charlotte may bring up how Sasha lost at the pay-per-view and this and that. And this will lead to a feud. Sasha Banks may end up being a babyface again. You know, and Sasha Banks, after what happened yesterday, it makes me feel even more that Sasha Banks may very well beat Charlotte Flair before Survivor Series. Not as punishment for what happened yesterday. But remember the one comment I made Thursday afternoon. And this is probably the most important aspect of it all. Do you remember what I said? What stupidity was coming out of this? Right now, before what went down at SmackDown, right now, you have Becky Lynch taking on Charlotte at Survivor Series. They're both champions. If they swap belts, what's the match at Survivor Series? It's still Becky Lynch versus Charlotte. Think about that. Like, the match is the same, whether they have the red belt or the blue belt. It's still the same match. So to have them swap titles just to have the same match at Survivor Series sounds awfully stupid, doesn't it? So yesterday, the way it was being presented in the ring to, you know, cut the promos the way they did and everything, the way it was described backstage, they didn't like it. Charlotte Flair didn't like it more than anybody. And honestly, if I was those women, I wouldn't like it either. But for all these fans online, they're saying like, oh, the backstage locker room is backing Becky Lynch on this. That's not based on facts. That's based on social media. A majority of social media do not like Charlotte Flair. So since the majority of social media likes Becky Lynch more than Charlotte Flair, then they assume that the locker room majority likes Becky Lynch over Charlotte Flair as well. And that could very well be. But when you have these people today writing that after what happened yesterday, the locker room is strongly behind Becky Lynch, what? Did you text everybody? Hey, we're running a poll. You know, whose side are you on? Hey, Sammy, Nia, Shayna, Sonya, did not... You think these people are going to fucking tell anybody? It's so stupid when you start breaking this down. Now, tonight on the SmackDown replay, they edited out something that happened yesterday. Because Charlotte Flair was not into the segment. You know, you're not really into something. You want to play off like you don't care. You got to be awfully careful. Because that's when you could stumble. And she claims that she accidentally dropped the title. Now, when I saw that, I immediately thought of that moment back in the 90s when Bret Hart was in the ring with Shawn Michaels. And Bret Hart was going to give Shawn Michaels a title. And he dropped it down, fuck you, walked off. There was a lot of reality in that. Charlotte Flair swears that she did not intentionally throw the title down. Because heel or babyface, whether you agree with storylines or not, you're not out to embarrass the person that you're working with or working against. Yes, there is a little animosity over the years. Becky Lynch called Charlotte Flair plastic once because of all the plastic surgery. There's a little bit here and there, but that happens with everybody, you know. But Charlotte swears she did not intentionally drop the title. The way it looked on TV, it looked very disrespectful for the belt. It looked very embarrassing for Becky Lynch. When Becky Lynch threw the title at Charlotte Flair, supposedly that was supposed to be. That they were supposed to just like, but not just throw it down the way she did, like, oh, I don't care about the belt. Charlotte Flair is not Steve Austin. Remember when Steve Austin would hit the ring and Steve Austin would just throw the belt in the ring and then climb the ropes and do this? Yeah, that's, they don't do that anymore. So Charlotte acted like she could care less about the segment. That was not planned. When she went to the back, Vince McMahon was very upset by it. People, creative, were very upset by it. And because they didn't want to have any additional tension with Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch, you know, they didn't have any fights backstage. I want to make that clear. They didn't have any pull aparts or push aparts. But, you know, Becky Lynch was like, let's just, you know, we're just doing our job. Let's just go through the segment. Let's just do what we got to do. Charlotte Flair did not like the segment. It obviously came across that way on TV. So when she went to the back, you know, the only thing that I can't confirm yet is that Vince McMahon wanted to speak to her. And Charlotte was like, you know, I'm not, like, she just could care less. So to keep tensions down from boiling over, they escorted Charlotte Flair out of the building. It's not a case that you're fired. Can I collect my belongings? No, no, no. Security will walk you out the door. Any of you out there that's ever been fired in an office, you probably know what I'm talking about. It happened to me 2 times when I was a lot younger. I got fired from a job, Chase Manhattan Bank. I got fired. And when I showed up to work, they called me in the office and they said, look, you know, unfortunately, we have to let you go. Okay. All right. You know, I'll get my belongings. No, no, no. We'll ship it to you. I can't, like, say goodbye to anybody. I'm not, like, going to start any trouble. No, we don't want to cause any, you know, scenes. We don't want to just, we have to escort you out. We'll send you your stuff. Or the second time, we'll leave it at the front desk. You could pick it up tomorrow. They, not even going to acknowledge that person. That person does that every week. Writes dumb shit with the hopes of a shout out. There's a couple little things written on there. So people are like, talking to me. But I'm saying that joking around. But the bottom line is this with Charlotte. There was a lot of anger backstage because this is what you got to understand. I am one of the biggest fans of Charlotte. Charlotte is the number one woman in wrestling over the last 10 years, period. She's got the 5 tools. She is, how she's not in the top 10 for Pro Wrestling Illustrated just shows you how shit that magazine has turned into. Everybody's got to get an opportunity to be in the top 10. But, no matter how much you like creative or don't like creative, no matter how much you think something is smart or something is stupid, no matter how much you agree or disagree with a decision, you go out there, you're a character playing a role, and you have to go along with it. Otherwise, you don't work for another employer. You work for yourself. You have to follow rules, and sometimes, you know, direction may not be what we've seen. Look, why do you think Charlotte, sometimes when she has matches, people are like, oh, she's just winging it for Dana Brooke. Oh, she's not selling for this person. Did you see this? You see that? You see this? And Charlotte does come across sometimes as someone that if she's not into it, you're going to know it. You know, but you see, when you are the number one female in a company, you know, it does happen. It's happened. Just because she's a woman doesn't mean that it can't happen. It's happened to heavyweights in WWF. It's happened in WCW with a lot of NWO members. It's happened, you know, it's politics. That's what it is. And Charlotte Flair is not going to be fired about this. She ain't going to show up on Dynamite. She's not going to be like Medusa and throw a title in the trash. She just was unhappy with the segment and came across as very lackadaisical. Hey, maybe, you know, you don't like her, and I do, but I think we both agree. When the cameras are rolling, you're playing, you're an actress. You are a sports entertainer. You are playing a storyline on camera. You may not like the plot. You may not like the way it transpires, but you still got to do your job. Period. And yesterday she acted like she really didn't care. And it came across. And when the title fell, did I do that? That's why WWE edited that out today. They edited it out. And honestly, that's probably the worst thing they could have done. Because by them editing it out, it shows how much it bothered them. But that's the extent of it. That is why Andrade tweeted, fuck WWE yesterday. Because Charlotte was very upset that she dropped it by accident. And they were very, very angry at her, thinking that she did it on purpose. Becky Lynch was not thrilled about it either. And they basically said, look, to keep tensions down, you know, leave the building. And Andrade felt that she was being mistreated. You know, look, again, when you're a Flair, you're the top woman in a company, you know, you may feel that you have more rights than someone else. It happens. It happens everywhere, not just in wrestling. Do I agree with it? No. But I think some people online want this to be a bigger story than what it is. You know, that's why I didn't tweet about it even once. I said, you know what? Let me find out why Andrade last night said that. I mean, Andrade got paid very well from WWE. Andrade said in an interview very recently that ultimately he'd like to go back to WWE. So for him at 11 o'clock at night, after having a decent match against Pac, is so triggered by it that he just goes on Twitter and says, fuck WWE? Obviously, there should have been more to it, but people immediately, oh, you know, why do you got to keep talking about WWE? Why you got to keep putting your mouth? You're an AEW person now. Not thinking that, hey, man, it may be more to this story than we know. So that's it. We'll see where it goes from here. But the way I feel right now, I think Sasha defeats Charlotte for that title. We get Sasha will beat Charlotte for the title. We get Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch at Survivor Series. Where does leave Charlotte? I don't know, but she's not going to be out of that title picture, in my opinion. So, anyway, very quickly, I want to show you this. Two things I think you will really appreciate. Check out this Facebook post, I think it's Facebook, not Instagram, the Edge posted. This is about referee Jessica Carr. And he says, and there's a really nice picture of him with her in Saudi Arabia because she made history in Saudi Arabia. And this is what Edge wrote. He said, and I quote, I'm in the midst of my 22-hour travel back home after Crown Jewel and Hell in a Cell. More on that in a future post, but I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge something that may have gone unnoticed to some. Last night, Jessica Carr refereed our match. Many firsts in doing that. The first woman to referee in Saudi Arabia. Massive. Actually trying to move the needle in a positive direction. The first woman to referee, Hell in a Cell. Massive. She was in there for every part of this insane trilogy that I am so proud of. SummerSlam, Madison Square Garden, Crown Jewel. She's knocking down barriers, and I couldn't be more proud of her. And she got these gigs not because she's a woman, it's because she kicks so much ass at her job. Many more milestones to come. When my daughters watch these matches someday, I can't wait to explain how important you were to all of this. Kudos, Jess. Keep making us smile. That is really, really awesome. That is awesome. And I'm not going to be one of those that is going to compare Jessica Carr to Aubrey Edwards. I'm not going to go there. But I will say this, you know, very cool to see someone at his age, Hall of Famer, killing himself in the ring and could still go to that level, be emotionally and physically drained, and the first thing that he wants to write about online is referee Jessica Carr. Very, very cool. Very cool. Here's something else I wanted to share with you. I might be a little messed up the way I say this. Tony Deppen, wrestler, he writes on social media, and I quote, close friend of mine teaches in the rough parts of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Student doesn't think he'll make it out of the area. He loves wrestling, AEW, WWE, Ring of Honor. Hint, hint. Anybody able to help me out by sending him a motivational cameo to him? Now, you think of South Philly? That is a really, really hard neighborhood to battle out of. And here is a kid in school, and he is obviously tempted with a lot of shortcuts, and he really doesn't think he'll be able to make it out of that lifestyle. But he's a huge wrestling fan. Tony Deppen asks publicly, you know, can anybody help me out? You know, with a cameo or something just to motivate him? Tony Khan was the first person to step up. Do I think he did it for notoriety? No. Drake Maverick stepped up. Nyla Rose, Kip Sabian, Cole Cabana. In fact, Kip Sabian is in Pennsylvania. And I heard that Kip Sabian, I don't have this from firsthand knowledge, but a friend who is a friend of Kip Sabian's who talked to him, he offered to see the kid in person. Drake Maverick, as far as I know, is the only person on behalf of WWE that reached out and offered to make a cameo for this kid. Now, I'm sure by now, quite a few people have gotten contact with Tony Deppen privately and have or will record videos for this student. But to me, I'm just expressing an opinion. I think it's pretty fucked up that, you know, for certain causes related to WWE, you'll have people in the company that will just talk about it every week, they'll wear a shirt, they'll do this. And you mean to tell me that someone who has nothing to do with your company has a friend who is a teacher and is a student that is really going to be a statistic that all he wants is son? You mean to tell me, even if you had to get okay from WWE, you mean to tell me that nobody publicly writes, yeah, I'll do it. Absolutely, I'll do it. Yeah, what's his name? I'll do it. How can I get in touch with him? I'll do it. Because you know what that shows? When I see it and you all see this name, Ring of Honor name, WWE name, AEW name, this name, all publicly saying, yeah, I'll do it. That inspires others. Like, wow, everybody immediately coming to this kid, you know, to show. And I didn't see, other than Drake Maverick, as of maybe 2 hours ago, I didn't see not one WWE wrestler publicly write, yeah, I'll do it. What's his name? How could I get in touch with him? And I just thought that was kind of terrible. I mean, I'm sure in a day or two, it'll be different. But to see nobody, but yet if it was a WWE cause, you would have seen 50 blue check marks in WWE, all right. It almost like in unison. I'll do it. I'm just saying. Making an opinion. So, as I go through my notes, I think I am done. Yeah, we got everything done. Wow. So, I'm only about 10 minutes overtime. So, don't forget, Monday at 11.05 p.m., I will be here with Mish. We were thinking about doing role reversal. I don't know, to my live friends out there on YouTube right now, because that's the chat that's open right now. What do you think about the idea of role reversal? Because we want to do an episode or two like that, where basically Mish is the lead host. Mish is the one that brings up the topics, and I bounce off of Mish, not the opposite. So what do you want? What do you think of that? I'm just throwing it out there. The shows wouldn't be much different, but usually when we do the show, we don't talk about the shows beforehand. We just, for the most part, we want to get into Raw and some news tidbits. But listen, Jordan, I swear on a stack of Bibles, I'm not kidding when I say this. If we do that, the one beautiful thing about it is I don't have to get notes. I don't have to try to make topics. I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to do that. I just sit back. Whatever he wants to bring up, he brings up, and I react to it. I bounce off of it. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So I don't know if we'll do it as quick as this Monday because it's obviously Saturday night already. But maybe next Monday. By the way, I know a few of you asked me about this on Thursday and I forgot to show you again. But, you know, I wanted to show you a little video clip, the back of my office where I have like some wrestling collectibles. And I was in my office a couple of days ago pulling a file from my file cabinet and I saw a couple autographed photos. And I said, if some of you out there had always wanted to see like where I keep like some of my random collectibles, when I say sometimes like I got to look for it or see it, yeah, there's only about 45 seconds long. But if you want an idea as far as where I keep some of my wrestling collectibles for the contests, check this out.
This is where some collectibles come to die. As you can see, we got some never-before-opened bobblehead dolls, autographed Grandmaster Sexay goggles, Eddie Guerrero signed photo with the PSA DNA, by the way. We got Stephanie. Nice, cute photo of Stephanie. We got magazines. We got Benoit photos. What's underneath here? Again, sorry about the primitive audio, video, excuse me. I wasn't planning on recording this. And since a lot of you wanted to see it, look, there's all the ECW figures, never opened, just sitting here, waiting to be sold on eBay for crazy money. But back when we were doing prize walls on Patreon, yeah, that's better. That was the Ultimate Warrior. That's a new one. But that is the original one. Beautiful, mint condition in the box. What, $400-$500 on eBay right now? Nobody on Patreon claimed that. Hogan from back in the day, nobody claimed that. Oh, yeah, these were light tubes that we were going to use for a FTW wrestling event. I had gotten new light bulbs, and they're like, no, save the light tube, save the light tube. We might be able to use it for a wrestling event. They never showed up. But, yeah, so I figured you might want to see, you know, just the back of my office. There's lots of, like, DT stuff in there. We got keychains. We got buttons. We got tons of stuff. This box has so many bobbleheads in it, never been opened. So, all right, I just figured I'd give you a little show, especially since those figures, people didn't believe me. I mean, at one point, I was offering both Warrior and Hogan together. Imagine if somebody would have won that on Patreon or claimed it. They would have had $1,000 worth of figures. But, yeah, they're not available no more. Anyway, time to go back to work. Take it easy, everybody.
Just a little random video clip. Figured you'd all want to see it. So, and I got boxes of other stuff here in the garage. So, but... No, that's okay, Benjamin. I have my contents insured. So, and now I got video proof of that too. So nobody, trust me, where my office is located, number one, there's security cameras. It's got a central station alarm. My office, the stairway is locked. That's alarmed. And then my office is alarmed as well. So nobody, if there was a bank on the same floor as me, then I'd be concerned about it. But nobody's going to do that much breaking in just to get there for a wrestling figure. Trust me. But, yeah, so that's it. So with that said, I am going to jet out of here. I want to give a shout-out to King of Games. Oh, look at this. CM Punk will wrestle Wardlow at Full Gear. How do I think it'll happen if true? Wait a minute, wait. He says, of course, I probably know it has been discovered. I haven't heard that as official yet. CM Punk versus Wardlow at Full Gear? I don't know. I haven't heard anything like that. I haven't heard anything like that, to be honest with you. I mean, I heard him versus Ricky Starks. I heard that. But, yeah, I'd put it this way. If that happens, I want to see how it plays off on TV. Right now, that makes no sense. It makes zero sense. I'm not saying Wardlow versus CM Punk would not be a good match, but that is random upon random, in my honest opinion. I don't see that happening. That's just, I mean, I haven't seen MJF cut any promos on CM Punk. I haven't seen CM Punk cut any promos on MJF. If they have a match between Wardlow and CM Punk, there's obviously going to have some back and forth promos cut. With Darby Allin so consumed with MJF right now, I don't see that. The only way I could see that, because you're asking me, how do I think it could happen? If you said to me right now, DT, Wardlow versus CM Punk has to happen, how would you book it? Well, CM Punk took on Darby Allin in his first match back. What could happen is that MJF has a segment with Darby Allin. It's got to be by next week, I would think. And there is a beatdown, and CM Punk makes the save of Darby Allin. And if there's like a stare down or a confrontation, and then Wardlow, you know, nails. In fact, I would rather see MJF and Wardlow versus CM Punk and Darby Allin. I actually would do that. I think that would make more sense. And then you could have some, you know, disagreements between MJF and Wardlow during the match, and that could cause them to win. So for me, I'd rather see that be a tag team match if you're forcing me to book it. DX Girl, shout out to you. I talked about the Dark Side of the Ring XPW in detail on Thursday. I am not watching it. Not that I am bitter that I wasn't asked, because as I explained before, what I was told, and I brought this up months ago, is that they were going to focus on California. A lot of you are going to remember exactly what I said when I say this. They were going to focus on California. They were going to focus on Messiah getting his fingers cut off. And then we're going to focus about what happened with sending porn across state lines. That's really it. They were going to omit tons of shit in the middle. And because of that, Rob Black didn't want to have anything to do with it. Lizzie Borden didn't want to have anything to do with it. A lot of other people behind the scenes of XPW, which I think Dark Side of the Ring doesn't even know that they existed, didn't want to have anything to do with it. And, you know, it is what it is. It was so incomplete. I mean, there's tons and tons of shit. My recommendation to you is, in this channel, type in XPW in the search box on my channel. You'll not only get Thursday's episode, because I told a couple of personal stories there as well. Pretty cool story about Lizzie Borden's birthday, by the way. And you'll also see the episode or two that I did within the last 6 months that I talked about it in detail. Anything with California, I mean, I brought it up even with Supreme and Chaos. When Supreme got set on fire and they used, I think, barbecue fluid, you know, because out of ignorance, and Supreme was in the hospital in critical condition, Chaos is, I think, his cousin. Chaos got Supreme's okay to do the segment in the park where they were cooking like barbecue. And at that time in what, 1999, 2000, whatever it was, people like, oh, that's the most disgusting thing I ever said. The guy's in the hospital, critical condition, and they're joking about it on TV. Supreme was fine with it. They weren't going to talk about that part. They were going to just make it seem like the most garbage of the garbage. Doesn't deserve my time. Not going to waste my time. I could probably, and I'm not saying this to be conceited or anything, I could give you a better episode talking about XPW than Dark Side of the Ring could have, to be honest with you. So, next Thursday, we'll definitely go back to the calls. It's just with Crown Jewel, that made everything a little crazy. And then Thursday night, you know, it's just literally 3 or 4 hours after Crown Jewel. But, I am going to, the discussion that you and I had, I'm definitely going to send you that file. I promise you. I will definitely send it to you this week, because that was awesome. And that's a learning lesson to a lot out there. And it's a nice, you know, thing that's going on over in the Middle East. So, yeah, no, I didn't forget. Just this weekend, you know, I'm not trying to make excuses, but this weekend it's been nonstop. Somebody joked with me Thursday night and said, DT, how many hours did you sleep Thursday? Because Tuesday and Wednesday combined, I had 2 hours of sleep. And I said, I only got 3 hours of sleep Thursday night, but yesterday I got 8.5. I slept like a baby yesterday. I woke up this morning, whatever time I felt like getting, I had to get up early to feed the bird, but I slept 8.5 hours and I felt great. So tonight I'm going to try to do the same. It's only midnight right now. So even if I crash by 1, I get up around 7:30 for the bird. Even if I go back to sleep for an hour or two. So tomorrow I will be rested and reinvigorated. But before I go, because I'd like to know this. Did Velveteen Dream make his debut in Impact Wrestling tonight? Because this is the reason why I'm wearing a shirt tonight. Not to be a jerk or to rub it in to anyone that doesn't like the guy. But I really would love to know. Did Velveteen Dream, in fact, you know what I'll do before we go? I got my keyboard right here. Let me do this. Because Impact Wrestling started 2 hours ago. Let me see if the results, because the pay-per-view, I mean, yes, the pay-per-view could go 3 hours, but let me see if I can get Bound for Glory results. Hold on. Take me literally 2 seconds. Here, Bound for Glory. Let me see what I find. Okay. This is what we got so far, and I'm sorry that it's incomplete, but I'll give you so far. The Inspiration defeated Decay, so they are the new Impact Tag Team Champions. I guess that was promised, like the old Impact contracts used to promise. By the way, Darren, what do you mean no spoilers? It's not like it was recorded. Then disconnect now. It's not like it was recorded. All right, okay. You know what? Okay, out of fairness, because you live chose to hang out with me tonight instead of watching Impact Wrestling, we will stop it here. On Monday, I will go over the Impact results with Mish, and we'll discuss it there. But can someone just let me know if Velveteen Dream made his debut? I'm looking at the spoilers. I'm not going to reveal spoilers. I'm looking. I don't see. Yeah, I don't see it. Yep. Dream over? Nope. Nobody knows. Okay. Look, I'll close out with this. You know, we got 5 minutes. Let's make this to 2 hours. We're at an hour and 54. So let's just talk for 3-4 more minutes. Benjamin 019, he just said it. And you know what? He said it, so I'm going to show it. And I don't mean to be disrespectful when I say I agree with that. Impact Wrestling this week did 93,000 viewers. Last week they did 89,000. Last week when they had 89,000, they had dropped 16% from the week before. Guess what? They only gained 4,000 of those viewers back. Since Tessa Blanchard dropped that title, they have lost almost 55% of their viewers. This is not 5 years ago where streaming media has changed and everything like that. This is about a year ago, a little more than a year ago. You had Kenny Omega, the Forbidden Door. You have Christian. All this involvement with heavyweight champions. For the last 12 months, you've had AEW's influence in this company, and you still lost half your viewers. When a promotion does less viewers than some podcasters do on YouTube, why should Impact Wrestling get a majority or even a crazy or decent amount of time on a show, unless you are a show directly talking only about Impact Wrestling. I want to talk about them. I'll plug it. I'll give some results. I'll give my opinion about somebody that signs or a decision. But when a show like that can't even get 100,000 views, think about that. Let's say, let me ask you this. How many of those 93,000, let's just average it out, 100,000. How many of those 100,000 viewers are AEW fans? 200,000? 300,000? Okay. They have lost, since Kenny Omega showed up there and eventually won their championship, they've lost 40% of their viewers. Do you think AEW helped Impact Wrestling over the last year as far as viewership goes, or do you think they hurt them? Now, AEW may have helped keep Impact Wrestling in business. No question. But what, and I've said this a year ago, what message, well, not a year, but about 8 months ago, what message does this send to your roster that your own wrestlers, your own contractual wrestlers that have nothing to do with AEW or anywhere else, they're not worthy enough, strong enough, deserving enough, or good enough to be the champion of your company? Rich Swann, decent job, in my opinion. Heavyweight champion for Impact Wrestling, I don't know. It was a hard sell for me. When they had Kenny Omega unify or the title, whatever they did at that time, they brought back the TNA title and stuff. You had the opportunity with Moose, and you did not pull the trigger. Well, his contract was coming to an end. I still see fucking Moose advertised. Then you had, what's his face? I can't remember his name right now. Oh, shit. I feel bad. Let me pull it up. I got it. I'd be very disrespectful. Shit. Damn, I don't even see him on this card. Well, the bottom line is this. You had other wrestlers that could have taken the title from Kenny Omega. Who was the one that wrestled Kenny Omega in a no DQ match? I'm brain fart. It's late right now. Not William Morrissey. I know William Morrissey. The hardcore guy. Shit. I'm drawing a blank right now. Come on, chat. Sammy Callahan. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you for bailing me out. Sammy Callahan. Do you remember that? Sammy Callahan on social media. Kenny Omega, AEW, you have something that belongs to us. You had every person on that roster tweeting on social media, Kenny Omega has something that belongs to us. So what happens? No DQ match. Nobody from the fucking back that were tweeting, you got something that belongs to us. They don't come out to help Sammy. I'm talking in storyline. What was it, ice cream outside? Is it like a bad Roadrunner cartoon that Don Callis was just planting bird seed like up until like the Florida highway and everybody ran to get the bird seed? You have your whole roster in storyline tweeting on social media, we want back what's ours. Yeah, we're all going to get behind Sammy. And you do a no DQ and almost nobody comes to help him. That pretty much was the knife in Impact's heart. Look, if you have a choice of going out of business or flailing, but you're still in business, obviously you choose the second route. But they have so much damage, and it's not just from COVID. And the fact that they're not even getting 100,000 views right now, I've talked too much already about them tonight. So I'm going to end with just addressing one comment here. We're not talking about Sammy Callahan right now in October of 2021. We're talking about Sammy Callahan in the storyline when he took on Kenny Omega for the heavyweight title and no DQ. They kept the title on Omega. And they did the title change on AEW television. What kind of message does that send to Impact Wrestling fans? What's that kind of message does that send? So even if you say to me, well, you know, with all the AEW influence, they gained, you know, maybe 100,000 fans. Well, if you really think about it, since they only drew 93,000, so either all those AEW fans left, or you have no of your fans left, and you just got AEW fans that are sticking around. 93,000. That's horrible. It's pathetic, and I am out of here. On the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, do me a solid. Smash that like button. Not only is that show YouTube that you enjoyed the episode, that shows me. It shows me that you enjoyed the episode, and the more you do that, the more that gets me a little more exposure on here. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I'll be back here with Mish on Monday night. We're going to have a banger of a show, as always. And yeah, that's it, everybody. Be well. Have a good night. Take care.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.